glad my sins are gone. Jesus took care of it all. Amen. On Calvary. Amen. Amen. Remain standing if you will. Turn in your Bible to Revelation chapter number 22. Revelation chapter number 22. Thank God for His blessings on us and allowing us to be back in the house of God. The blessings that we've enjoyed this week. Amen. And then the Sunday school lesson this morning. I thank the Lord for that. Amen. And then the songs that have been sung. I thank the Lord for all of that. And hope you'll pray God uses this morning to bring His Word and the thought that He's given us, that we might be able to bring that out. Amen. And preach it in power. I'm going to preach from the last two verses of the book of Revelation. The last two verses. And I'm thinking on this thought. The last words of our Savior recorded in the King James Bible. And the last words of a saint recorded in the King James Bible. Last words are important, you know that. When somebody says their last words, we take that into consideration a little bit more than a lot of the other things that were said. Matter of fact, let me back up and say this. And I'm just going to deal this morning with the last words of our Savior. Later we'll look at the last words of the saint. But I was interested in the first words of the Savior. If you've got a red letter edition, how many in here has got a red letter edition Bible? Raise your hand. All right. If you have a red letter edition, then you can see it easier. That mine's not red letter edition. And doesn't mean mine's not the Bible. Some people say, you know, it's not a real Bible if it's not red letter. Or if it's not a real Bible if it doesn't have a black cover. They got all kinds of different ideas. I believe if it's not a King James Bible, I don't believe it's a real Bible. But other than that, it doesn't matter what color the letters are inside or what color the cover is on the outside. Amen. But anyway, it helps you to recognize some things. When you look down that real quickly, you can see the last words of our Savior. If you'd look back in the book of Matthew in chapter number 4, you don't have to turn there. I've got to think about what was His first words. We've got recorded His last words. And the first words in His public ministry, you know that Matthew deals with the birth of our Savior. It deals with the baptism of our Savior. And then it goes right straight. That baptism, by the way, is the beginning of His public ministry. And then it goes right into His temptation in the wilderness. Immediately after His temptation in the wilderness, verse number 17 of Matthew chapter number 4, you've got the first sermon of our Lord Jesus and the first words. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, here's the first word Jesus ever preached, repent. That's the first word. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I thought, well, let me look back and see what He said in the book of Mark. Mark chapter number 1. Mark does not begin with the birth of our Lord. Mark does not begin with the baptism of our Lord. Well, it does talk about His baptism, but Mark begins with the ministry. I mean, it just jumps right in the ministry. And the first words, if you've got a red letter edition, you'll see it. Verse number 15. And saying, well, let me back up verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, here's what He said, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. What's the next word? Repent, ye, and believe the gospel. Amen. That's the words of our Lord Jesus. I got to thinking about His first words. That's important. That's first base, by the way. That's first base. I thought about some of these fellows that try to do away with repentance. I hope they made first base. I hope they did. But the fact that they're, and you know, a baseball player could make first base, go on to second, third, even home. But if he removes first base, he'd stop anybody else from ever getting home. Amen. Because you can't get home without getting first base. Amen. That was the first words our Lord said, was repent. Amen. Repent in His public ministry. These are the last words. Revelation chapter number 22 and verse number 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. That's the last words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Surely I come quickly. Amen. That's the last words of the disciple of the Lord. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in the house of God again this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God that is with us here in the house of God. Your blessings on the song service and the Sunday school time. Lord, I pray your blessing would be on this preaching time. Lord, I pray you'd draw sinners. You'd strengthen saints. Help us, dear God, to look up because we'd be convinced that Jesus is coming. And I don't know when, but I do know that it's a certainty. And I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help us to be prepared. Help us to be helping others get prepared. Lord, I pray you'd use the message according to thy will. Do help those that are not able to be with us. Strengthen Miss Tammy, Lord, I pray. Those here in the church that have health issues, I pray strengthen them, meet their needs. Be with Brother and Sister Hall and bless them as they're away from us. Help us today, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. The last words recorded of the Savior in the King James Bible, or the last words recorded in Scripture of our Lord, are these words, surely I come quickly. Amen. I said that last words are important. We take them, we remember them, we relish them for years to come. And I just recently realized that these were, that I knew this is the last words, of course, because this is the last book, the last, it's closing up. But I got to thinking about what a special blessing it is. He could have said a lot of things that were his last things, but the last thing he said, and I believe wants us to keep in mind, is that he is coming again. We've not seen the last of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This world's not seen the last of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I was listening to some philosophers, some men talking about different philosophies and things of ways of looking at things. And this Christian apologist, they say, and that doesn't mean he's apologizing for Christianity. It just means that he's arguing for Christianity. But he's talking to a Jewish man, and that he talked to him about Isaiah 53, and he talked to him about how some of them Old Testament scriptures seem to point to the Lord Jesus. I don't believe they just seem to point to Him. I believe they obviously point to the Lord Jesus. But this one Jewish theologian made this statement. He said, when Messiah comes, I have one question for Him. He said, my one question will be, have you been here before? Well, He has been here. Jesus came. Messiah came in the form of a little babe born in Bethlehem. Amen. He came and lived and died and, thank God, rose again. Amen. He died on Calvary for the last song we sang, that our sins could be taken away. Thank God. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. But Jesus, as He's getting ready to leave this world and as He's getting ready to close His book, He wants us to remember that He is coming again. Amen. And so I've chosen these. We've got the last words of the Savior and the last words of a saint. The saint's last words are, even so. He didn't say, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on a little longer, Lord Jesus. He didn't say, oh, no. He said, oh, yes. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So I want to think on that, the last testimony of our Savior. He uses the word testify in verse number 20. He which testifieth these things. It's the testimony of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We talk about the Bible and we break it into two parts. Old Testament, New Testament. A testament is a testimony. A testament is a word. We talk about the last will and testament. How do you know what somebody's will is? They write it down. Amen. That's how they want things. That's how they will things to be. So we talk about the last will and testament. Our Lord, as He's showing us His will, the way we know what God wants from us is by reading His Word. Amen. He's given us His Word as to what He wants us to know and as to what He wants us to do. And when Jesus given His last words, He wants us to remember that He's coming again. He wants us to relish the fact that He's coming again. Amen. And so, I want you to notice, first of all, that Christ reveals Himself in this verse. He reveals that it is Himself that's saying it. Look again in verse number 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. He lets us know these are His words. He's the one that's testified this. He's the one that's revealed this to John. He's the one that's revealed this through His angel. We'll see that in a moment. But He's letting us know this is His Word. By the way, all the Bible is Christ's Word. That's why I say it's not just red letter that's important. All of it's important. Amen. It's all His Word. As a matter of fact, not only is the book of Revelation His revelation, all the book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. All the Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Testimony. Amen. But this verse number 20 harkens us back to verse 16. Look at what he says there. He reveals himself. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. He says in verse number 16, that first part, I'm the one saying this, and I've sent my angel to testify these things unto you. So he says here, verse 20 tells us that this is not the voice of the angel that we're listening to. And this is not the voice of the Apostle John that's saying Jesus is coming. It's our Lord Himself that's making the statement, surely I come quickly. Amen. Now, once Christ has identified Himself as the speaker, He makes another statement. He says, look at verse 20 again. He which testifieth these things saith, what's he say? Surely I come quickly. Amen. That phrase, I come quickly, is found three times in this last chapter. You know that, I'm sure. Look at verse number 7. The first phrase, behold, I come quickly. Look at verse number 12. Again, that first phrase, and behold, I come quickly. And then again, here in our text, verse 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. I notice that the first two times he uses the word behold. That word behold means take notice of this. All right. We might say it this way. Write her down. I'm coming back. Amen. Jesus is saying behold. Put it down. Recognize. Take notice. I'm coming. But when he gets to that final statement, he uses a different word, but it has some of the same connotation, and it is the word surely. Amen. Now, can I say to you that this statement being oft-repeated, especially right here in the closing of that, ought to cause us to recognize that Jesus certainly is coming. Amen. That there's no question. I know the world questions whether He's coming, but He is coming to claim His own, and He is coming to judge the world in power and in glory one day. Amen. There's a certainty of the fact that He is coming. He stated it over and over again. Our Lord never said one time anything in vain. But He certainly never repeated Himself of anything that was vanity and empty words. In other words, these things have something special to say to us. And He said it not just once, but matter of fact, all through the Scriptures, He said it numerous times, but three times right here in the last chapter. Let me point out three things, if I can, in my message this morning. And I'll probably not be real long this morning, but three things that I want to think about in the message. First of all, I want you to notice the statement of His coming. Then we'll look at the surety of His coming. And then we'll look at the suddenness of His coming. All right? There's the statement. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Notice that it is Jesus that tells us He's coming. It's not some preacher that made it up. It's not some songwriter that made it up. It's not something to scare people that why it was made up. It wasn't made up. It's a statement of fact. Jesus said, He is coming and He will come. Amen. He tells us, look at it again, verse number 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Notice He does not say, I will come. Not I will come someday out there in the future, but He said, I come. In other words, He is coming. It's almost as if He might even be on His way. Amen. He is coming. We have His word on it. Amen. Amen. The verses immediately previous to the verse we just read is talking about the judgment of God. Look with me, if you will, verse 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. That sounds like judgment, doesn't it? And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Again, there's judgment. He's pronouncing judgment. He's pronouncing judgment on people that tamper with His Word. People that have lied about His Word. People that have misused His Word. And He said there's coming judgment upon that. I want to tell you that the world says judgment's not coming, but it is coming. We have our Lord's Word on it. Amen. Jesus is announcing with certainty that judgment will come. Christ is coming to judge the world. Now, since He has not yet come to judge the world, some folks believe and behave as if He will never come. Amen. Because judgment is delayed, seemingly, because judgment is deferred, seemingly, men's hearts race to do evil. They run after evil and they think as if He will never come. But I want to tell you, Christians can be sure of the fact that Jesus is coming because we believe His Word. Amen. We believe the promise that He has made and He is coming in judgment. Therefore, we ought to live as if He is coming. Matter of fact, we ought to live as if He's already here. Amen. Amen. It's just as sure as if He were already here. There's the statement of His coming. Secondly, there's the surety of His coming. The surety of His coming. Jesus says that His coming again is a certainty. Amen. It's a certainty. There's no question about it. Again, notice that verse number 4 and verse number 12 both use the word behold. Behold. Again, that means you can write her down. Amen. You can put it down in ink. He is coming. It's a done deal, so to speak. He's made the promise, He's made the plan, and He'll carry out His plan. He'll keep His promise, amen, that Jesus is coming. But because our Lord's coming has seemed to be deferred for some time, by the way, time's still ticking on. People say, well, we've heard that promise since the beginning. We've heard that promise all our life. Our fathers heard that promise, and on they go. They mock, and matter of fact, since it's been deferred, they seem to deride it. They seem to disbelieve it. They seem even some have denied that the Lord will ever come again. Amen. But Jesus tells it. He says we can put any questions of this aside. Surely, He will come. That's what He's saying. Amen. He will come because He says, I come quickly. Amen. Amen. Now, can I say this, that the certainty that Christ made that statement ought to stop the mouths of the gainsayers, those that say He'll never come, and ought to shut their mouth. Amen. But at the same time, it ought to comfort the heart of the weary Christian. We're tired of this old world. Amen. Christians that are disgusted with the way things are going in the world of men. Amen. Ought to comfort us in the fact that Jesus made us a promise that He is coming again. Amen. There's one other thing it ought to do. It ought to stop the mouths of gainsayers. It ought to comfort the heart of the Christian. But it ought to excite the labor of those that are trying to harvest in the field of God. Because we know that the night's coming when no man can work. We know that the Lord's coming when all our labors will be ceased. And therefore, we ought to be busy about the work of the Lord. Amen. The statement of His coming. The surety of His coming. And number three, the suddenness of His coming. He said, I come quickly. The last word spoken is the word quickly. That does not mean soon. I preached on this sometime back and I mentioned that almost every other version of the Bible translate that as, behold, I come soon. But 2,000 years have passed. If you ask your wife, honey, how soon are you going to be ready to go? She says, I'll be ready soon. Give me 2,000 years. You won't think that soon. And so it's not meaning coming soon. It means that His coming will be sudden. All at once He'll be here. Without any warning. Without any further notice. He could just show up. That's what it's meaning. The suddenness of His coming. It means that His coming may very well be surprising. Amen. He's going to catch a lot of people off guard. Amen. The world, I believe, will be surprised at His coming. Amen. The many unfaithful servants of our Lord will be surprised at His coming. I don't know how soon our Lord might come, but I don't think we need to relegate it way out into the future because He could come at any time. Surely, He will come quickly. Amen. Now this suddenness of His coming ought to cause us and alert us that we might be ready at all times. We don't know when He'll come. Amen. We don't know whether it be morning, night, or noon. We just know He is coming. Therefore, we ought to be ready at all times. By the way, that is in accordance to the Word of God. Turn back with me to Matthew chapter number 24. Our Lord said this, and His apostles said it as well. But I want to show you this in the Scriptures. Matthew 24 is dealing with the second coming of our Lord. And I realize that many of the Scriptures deal with the second coming. Doesn't differentiate between the rapture or the revelation. And really, there's no need for us to try to differentiate that in my sermon today. Jesus is coming. For those of us that are saved, we know He's coming for us before He comes to judge the world. But when He gets His children out, judgment will begin. 7 years of great tribulation on the earth. And then that great and final judgment day. Amen. Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 42. These are words of our Lord. He said, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. In other words, He said He could come at any time. You don't know what time. So be ready at all times. Verse number 43. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up.
Right.
You got an idea when a thief will come, so here's what you do. You leave your doors unlocked until you think the thief is coming. No, you don't. You lock your doors because you know he could come at any time. Amen. You lock your doors because you know that the thief could come. You don't know that he will come, but you know that he could come at any time. Listen, we know something better about our Lord. We know He could come at any time, but we also know He will come one of these days.
Amen.
Therefore, we ought to live prepared for His coming. All right, verse number 44. Here's what Jesus said. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. When this crowd says, you know, I don't really think Jesus is coming. The Bible said, that's right when He's going to come.
Yeah, right
when the world says, I don't think He is. Turn to 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. Matter of fact, I just thought of something. Brother Steve and I were talking some time back about the second coming of the Lord. And we're throwing some things around. And he said he'd be interested in hearing what I thought about it. Now, I didn't think about that when I was preparing this sermon. But maybe this will have him stay awake, stay off of that pillow, amen, and keep his head up and pay attention to what's going on, amen. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 1 through 4. This is the Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Thessalonia or Thessalonica, and he says, "But of the times and seasons, brethren," so he's talking to saints, "you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." You know what he's saying? We don't know what day he's coming. We know he's coming with a surprise. We know that he's coming in a sudden state of things. I don't have to write you, I don't try to set a date for you, because you know better than that. That's what he's saying. All right, let's read on. He said that he's coming as a thief in the night. Verse 3. "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them." Who's the they? That's the lost folk. That's the lost world. "When they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." I personally believe that is an illusion, that the destruction is not coming upon us. We're going to be raptured out. The destruction is coming upon them. When they say that, they shall be destroyed. Sudden destruction comes on them. But Jesus is coming. Look at verse number 4. "But ye, brethren," so again, you're not in that crowd that destruction is coming to. Here's something for you, brethren. "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief." Now, he just said, "I can't tell you what day he's coming, because he's coming like a thief." Then he said, "You don't have to have it sneak up on you." You know why you don't? Because you've already been warned. It's not, and I've heard men say it back when, in 1988, you remember that? Edgar Wisnett wrote a book, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Would Come in 1988. You think he was wrong? I've got a bunch of reasons why I could say he's wrong. Amen. But here's what he said about that. I listened to him. He had a radio program and he sold books. And matter of fact, a fellow gave me one of the books. I read it. I purposely waited until after September 11th, 12th, and 13th. That's when he said he's coming, one of those 3 days. And of course, he would say, "You can't pinpoint the day, so I'll give you 3 days. And it'll be one of these." Well, he's wrong about all three. But I purposely waited till after those days was over to read the book, because I thought it would be more interesting just to see how far off he was. But anyway, he said in his radio broadcast, he said this, was saying, you know, Christians will be able to deduce it. We'll be able to figure it out. By the way, Edgar Wisnett was a smart man. He worked with NASA, figured out how to make the moon, the landing on the moon. That took some figuring. He's a pretty good figurer, but he still messed up when he tried to figure out what God said, "No man knows." Amen. God's not going to tell us what day Jesus is coming, but He has made us a promise He is coming. So that day don't have to slip up on you unawares. Amen. It'll catch the world unaware, but it's saying that believers ought to be ready for the judgment to come. Amen. Believers ought to be ready for the Lord to come. That's Paul's word. Turn to 2 Peter. This is right in. So I said, our Lord said it. Paul said it. Then Peter said it. 2 Peter, chapter number 3, verses 1 through 10. A good bit more reading here. 2 Peter, chapter 3, and verse 1. "The second epistle, beloved," so again, you know he's writing to saints, "I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." So he's reminding us of something. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers." Are they here yet? Sure they are. There's mockers. Here's something else you'll know about them. "Walking after their own lust." That's here. "And saying, where is the promise of His coming?" Here's what they go on to say. "For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." He said, now they're going to mock and they're going to say, Jesus is not coming. Everything's been running smooth. It's running right on track, running right along. In other words, people are going to scoff at Jesus coming in judgment. Look at verse 5. "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. By the way, that's talking about Noah's flood. They reject Noah's flood. By the way, the scientists that push evolution, they wipe out anything about a flood. They don't believe in it. The creationists say the flood's what caused a lot of the turmoil we see in our planet. Amen. They're ignorant of that. And by the way, they're willingly ignorant. They want to overlook that. Amen.
Right.
But look at verse number 7. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store. In other words, God's keeping track of it, keeping it in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. He said they're ignorant and they want to be ignorant. But he said, beloved, brethren, don't you be ignorant of this. What is it? That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Let me stop there just a minute. I don't think he's saying, well, 6,000 years will equal 6 days, 7,000 years will equal 7 days, and that's how... No, I don't think that's what he's saying. He's saying God does not count time like you and I count time. Amen. God can pass 1,000 years like we'd pass a day. Time's not relevant to God. Or God can live 1,000 years like we've lived today. He used it on both counts. 1,000 years as a day and a day as 1,000 years. All right. And then he goes on to say, let me find my place here. Where'd I get to? Verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. What promise? The promise of judgment. The fact that He's not come is not because He's slack, but it's because He's merciful. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's that word again. But the day of the Lord, look here, will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Here's what he's saying. He's saying God does not count time like we do. In a sense, time is irrelevant to God. Amen. God is not tied to time like we are. That day will come in God's timing. That day will come when God wills it to come. That's what he's saying. Amen. But he said it's going to catch a lot of people unawares. It's going to be a surprise to a lot of people because of its suddenness. You see, sinners disbelieve the promise. Some saints doubt the promise. Yet Jesus said that He surely will come. Surely I come quickly. Amen. Jesus is coming to bring restitution to the world. I believe He's also coming to bring rapture to the saints, to catch us out of this place. He will snatch away His children and will bring down wrath upon the earth. And can I tell you, that will surely happen. Amen. It's a comforting thought to the saint. Back in John, you don't have to turn because you know it. I'll just turn back there and read it. I don't want to misquote it. John chapter 14, that great text we use a lot of times in funerals. Our Lord Jesus said this, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Amen. It's a comfort when we lay our beloved ones in the grave that we know Jesus made us a promise. He's coming again, and He's going to bring them with Him when He comes. Amen. It's a comfort to us to know that this world's not our home. We're just passing through. And we've got a Savior that's coming back to get us one of these days. It's a comfort.
Yes, sir.
It's a comfort to the saint. Amen. James chapter 5, if you'd like to turn there. If you're still in 2 Peter, you're not far from it. Back up just a little bit. James chapter number 5. Verse 7. Down through verse number 9. James says, "Be patient therefore, brethren." So again, he's talking to saints. How long are we to be patient? "Unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, till he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Well, there, that does sound like it's soon. He said it's getting closer. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. It's headed this way. That's what he's saying. That's draweth nigh. It doesn't mean that it is right near to us. That's how we use it. But it does mean it's getting closer. We're getting closer to the coming of the Lord. Again, not setting a date. Just know that it's going to happen. And we're bound to be closer now than we were previously. All right. Look at verse number 9. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth at the door. James is saying that the coming of the Lord is so certain. The coming of the Lord could be so soon that it's as if He might already be at the door. Amen. That was written in the days of James. It's as if He were standing at the door. Now He tells us, grudge not one another, brethren. In other words, if we really believe that, it ought to affect our behavior. Amen. Turn back to 2 Peter chapter number 3 one more time. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse number 11. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. We read the first 10 verses. Let's look at verse 11. Seeing then that that all these things shall be dissolved. What's all these things? The earth and the heavens shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming day of the Lord, coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen. We're not upset that this world's going to be destroyed because this world's not our home. We're looking for a new earth. Amen. We're looking for a new world, a new heavens and a new earth. Amen. Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Amen. I like what he says in verse number 12. Looking for, and then that next word, and hastening unto. We believe He's coming, and we're excited about it. We're saying, as John said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I like what he says in verse number 14. He said, wherefore, seeing that ye look for such things, looking for Jesus, looking for the world to be destroyed, be diligent that you may be found in Him. Make your calling and election sure is what he's talking about. Make sure you're in Him. But he also said, here's how you'll be. He said, in peace, without spot, and blameless. In other words, seeing that we believe that Jesus is coming, we ought to behave as if He was coming.
That's right.
Amen. We ought to be careful that we live blamelessly. We ought to be careful that we live without spot of sin or ungodliness in our life. Amen. We ought to be careful that we are ready when He calls. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the second coming of Jesus Christ is our blessed hope. Amen. It's our blessed hope. And so we ought to believe it strongly enough to allow it to affect our behavior. We ought to allow that hope to purify ourselves, even as He is pure. That's what He said. He that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself even as He is pure. I'm going to stop right there in my message this morning, dealing with those last words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Surely I come quickly. I'd like to come back and look at the last words of the saint in days to come. Maybe tonight or maybe next Sunday. I don't know yet which way we're going to go there. But let me just mention a couple of things, or three or four things, by way of conclusion. As a child of God, we ought to keep that promise close to our heart. Our Lord has promised us. He's not left us here destitute. He's not going to leave us here forever. He's coming back to get us. Amen. He's made us a promise that He's on His way. And His promise is so sure, it's as if He were here already. Amen. It ought to cause us to keep that dear to our heart. We ought to keep that in the forefront of our mind. Amen. It will encourage us to hope in God. It'll encourage us to look for deliverance, amen, from this wicked world. Can I tell you, we can bear our cross a little longer if we know we must be near the finish line. Amen. We can keep in this race just a little longer since we know we must be near the finish line. There's a song that says, I'm too near home to turn back now. Amen. Second thing I want you to notice, not only that the Christian ought to keep that close to his heart, that ought to give him comfort, but also it ought to cause us to keep a close guard on our life while we are here on earth, knowing that just any day now, we're going to meet our Lord, and we're going to give an account to Him of every deed done in our body, whether it be good or evil. Amen. We're going to give an account. Since we know that Jesus is coming, we ought to be careful what kind of speech we use. We ought to be careful what kind of activities we get involved in. We ought to be careful of the places we go. Amen. We ought to be careful of the things that we do. Amen. The time we waste. Amen. Because Jesus is coming. And I say last of all to the sinner. The sinner ought to tremble at the certainty of Christ's coming.
Yes, sir.
But they ought to do more than tremble. They ought to break out and run to Jesus. Don't run from Him. You can't run from Him. You can't outrun Him. Run to Him. Don't wait and say, I know what, I've heard all this. And people say, yeah, when the trumpet sounds, I'll run to Jesus. It'll be too late. I don't know how many lost people even hear the trumpet sound. But if they did hear the trumpet sound, it'd be too late. Matter of fact, can I say the trumpet of the gospel is being sounded now? If you hear the trumpet sound of the gospel, run to Jesus. Amen. Don't wait. Run to Him. Jesus is your only hope. Today may be your only chance. I don't know when He will come. I know He said He's coming. I know that His coming will be sudden when He does come, and it may very well be surprising. Amen. If you really believe that Jesus would come today, if you really believe Jesus could come today, you would not tarry. You would not linger any longer. You'd fly to Jesus. Amen. Peter said this. I'll read you these verses again. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You can have an abundance entrance into the kingdom of God if you'll run to Jesus. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. I've not preached some new doctrine. This is an old, old story of the second coming of Christ. But I want you to know it's certain. He made the statement. He said it was sure. And I believe it could very well be sudden. Heavenly Father, I pray You take these words and drive them home to the heart of every sinner. Help the saint, dear God, to grasp hold of these words and hold them dear to their heart. Father, I pray that the sinner would run to Jesus before it's too late. Have Your way in this invitation time, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.